Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Owe Me One by Kay Cove, narrated by Kingsley Rose and Kyle Mason. You have to keep breaking your heart until it opens. Rumi. 1. Quinn. The headlights nearly blind me as I brace for impact. It's always the same. The screeching tires sound like a tea kettle. Then a thunderous crash and the crunching of metal as I roll in a steel box that shrinks as it pummels into the asphalt, rolling over and over until I wake up. It's terrifying, but by now, predictable. Yanking my groggy eyes open, I wait for my heart rate to calm. It was just a dream. But my racing heart and the spasms in my legs need time to settle. I know not to fight it, to let the nerves flow and leave my body. It's always the same, my very familiar nightmare. My hair curls tightly around my neck, threatening to choke me, and splatters across my mouth to silence me. The white pillowcase I'm face down on comes into clear focus. It's stained with my foundation and charcoal eyeliner. The aftermath of my drunken dumbassery. My wild hair spills across my bare back and shoulders, instead of being secured neatly in a bun on top of my head. I haven't missed my nightly hygiene routine in years. Not once. Not after girls' night that turn into sleepovers after a little too much sangria. Not after coming home dog-tired after working with my dad well past midnight at the office. Not even after the time my little brother and I pulled an all-night lethal weapon marathon. I might have washed my face, tied back my hair, and brushed my teeth at 7 o'clock in the morning before heading to bed. But nonetheless, routine. I haven't dropped that ball in years. Until last night. Or this morning? Today? What the hell time is it? A grunt from beside me startles me, and I shoot up in alarm. Shit! There's a giant lying next to me, with shaggy blonde hair that barely touches the tops of his shoulders. Cody. My heart, which has finally calmed, accelerates out of control. The momentary relief of not waking up to a stranger is brief, chased away by extreme panic. Cody Cartland. Rule number one of maintaining a single, non-attached, free-to-be-a-workaholic ice queen lifestyle: don't sleep with the guy you like. Apparently, a bit easier said than done. I wrap my arm around my bare chest, but he's still sleeping with his face buried in the pillow. The way his back rises high and falls, not even naked breasts could coax him from his slumber. Oh, good grief. What did we do? What did I do last night? It's literally taken the strength of Hercules and Achilles combined to keep my curiosity about Cody's body at bay, but I've somehow managed the past 4 months. All it took was a little bourbon to ruin everything. The worst part? I don't even remember. Damn it. It's Cody. Probably worth remembering. Cody lifts his head and plasters his other cheek against the pillow, smiling to myself. I resist the urge to lean in and kiss his head. Retired NFL superstar tight end Cody Cartland is double my weight and towers over most humans on this planet. If only the world knew his snore is like a kitty's purr. Pulling up the comforter, I peek under the sheets. I'm wearing underwear, at least. I sneak a glance to the right. Cody is not. His muscular glutes are in plain view. We both smell like a distillery, and I'll take the blame. I vaguely remember the desperate phone call I made, begging him to meet me for a drink, which wouldn't have been that crazy between friends, except I'm at my company's annual leadership retreat in Las Vegas. Grabbing a drink together meant Cody hopping on a plane, which he did. Denial is my safe haven, and I like it here, so I'll keep pretending we're just buddies. It's not a big deal. I check my phone. Fuck. 11 o'clock? My empty stomach sinks a foot lower. I missed the executive breakfast meeting. Very uncharacteristic of me. Judging by the 7 missed calls from my dad, he probably thinks I'm in harm's way. I can picture his scowling face and the lecture I'm sure to receive.
You may be a grown woman, but you'll always be my little pigtail princess, and I worry. So answer your damn phone.
He'll do that thing where his lips barely move as he talks because he's trying not to look too emotional. One day, I'll tell him it makes him look like a creepy and untalented ventriloquist. Sitting up, I subtly shift my hips back and forth, searching for any evidence of what happened last night. Nothing. It's been a while. I probably would be a little sore. Actually, if that shoe size representing penis size thing is accurate, I'd probably be a lot sore. Cody wears a size King Kong in Nikes. Then again, I vaguely remember drinking my body weight in neon green liquid straight from a plastic boot, so maybe I wouldn't have felt much of anything. Truthfully, I'd known a meltdown was coming. I'd basically been sleeping in my office since my promotion a few months ago. There's only so much fun you can stuff down and deny before it rears its ugly head and bites you in the ass. My whole life is confined to the walls of the Sabin Tech Building. I escape now and then for my closest friends and my little brother. But even in those moments, I'm just a prisoner on parole. I needed to let loose for one night. But the problem wasn't the partying. It was the company. Pressing my feet onto the cool floor soothes my aching soles. Way too many concrete miles trekked up and down the Vegas Strip in stilettos yesterday. I should have brought a pair of flats. I make my way out of the main bedroom into the guest bathroom of the giant hotel suite. Originally, I thought the room was wasteful. A two-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath suite just for me. But now I'm grateful. Maybe I can clean up and sneak out before Cody has a chance to wake up. In the shower, the hot drops of water gradually soak my hair, letting the water scald my skin. I hope it will flush out the lingering liquor from my pores. I'm waiting for the pounding headache, swell of nausea, fatigue. Nothing. There's a possibility I'm not hungover because I'm still very drunk. Closing my eyes, I try to immerse myself in the slurry memories that begin to surface. There had been so many lights. Night may as well have been the day. The fountains of the Bellagio danced behind us as the blaring symphony swelled. Cody had barely been able to hear my pleading. He kept leaning in closer and closer, so my lips grazed his earlobe. Cody, baby, please.
No, ma'am. I will not, but keep calling me baby. I could get used to that.
You're such a prude.
Prude?
Yeah.
I'd rather not be arrested for public indecency.
Cody, just do it. Pouting like a child, my hands were on my hips.
You can't use the Nike slogan to boss me into skinny dipping in a public fountain with you.
He wrapped me in the thick iron beams, also known as his arms, to keep me from stumbling in my heels. I can, and I will. Well, that's humiliating. If my drunken memories serve me correctly, I was begging to get publicly naked, and Cody was the source of reason. Definitely a low moment for me. I'm not usually so sloppy, but I panicked. I really panicked. When I first arrived at the conference, between all the lectures and announcements about Sabin Tech's ambitious new endeavors, my entire life until my late retirement flashed before my eyes. I looked in the hotel mirror, and hollow brown eyes stared back at me. Sully's words knocked around in my head. Lifeless, selfish, soulless. I hear him in my mind more lately, which is odd. The more time passes, the louder he gets. No matter how many men I've put between us, no matter how many guys have praised me, promised me, begged me to go out or go down, I can only see myself through Sully's eyes. Fuck it. Shake it off. Tune it out. Good woman. Not a good woman. Whatever. I'm still the boss. I suds up my hair with the orange essential oil-infused spa shampoo. One of the benefits of booking a luxury suite. The hotel toiletries won't strip your hair and skin. This room has the good stuff and has the price tag to prove it. I'm not looking forward to the checkout bill. judging by the empty minibar, which was most definitely full when I arrived, and the scattered tiny platters on every surface of the suite. Cody and I might have racked up the cost equivalent of a Ford Focus in room service charges last night. After a final rinse, I rotate the shower handle off. Stepping out of the floor-to-ceiling tiled spa shower, I grab a fresh, fluffy towel from the elegantly designed two-tier rack. The moment my naked body is concealed, the bathroom barn doors slide open. There he stands in just black jockey briefs, looking like a life-size Thor action figure.
There you are. Thought you ran out on me.
He slowly crosses the bathroom, closing the space between us, making a meal out of the visual of me in a towel, dripping. I'm not sure if I should be embarrassed he's looking at me like this. Is this old news? What did he see last night? You want a picture?
Got some last night.
He winks at me. My eyes narrow, and my mouth pops open. Cody throws his head back and laughs.
I'm kidding. How do you feel this morning? I'm surprised you're awake.
How do I look? I grumble, knowing I look worse than death.
Relaxed, like you finally removed that stick up your ass,
he teases.
Relaxed is really pretty on you.
I scowl at him as he tucks my wet hair behind my ear, then busy myself in the mirror so Cody doesn't see me flush. He's so good at that. Tenderness. Lately, I've been a sucker for his sweet tactics. Sincere and sweet coming from a Goliath of a man who should be a pompous, full-of-himself athletic icon is simply not fair. Like having to live in a bakery when you're on a diet. You seem awfully cheery for being hungover, I say, internally shaking off my momentary swoon.
I'm not hungover.
So we're both still drunk. I laugh as I dot the dark circles under my eyes with a high-end eye brightener. Compliments of the hotel.
I'm not hungover because I wasn't drunk.
He gives me a knowing smirk.
I had a few, but I wasn't on your level. I had to force bottles of water down your throat and tell you Motrin was candy so you'd take it. One of us had to keep our head.
Leaning against the bathroom countertop, he smiles at me smugly. All right, I say, spinning around, giving him my full attention. Lay it on me. What happened?
You called and told me to get my ass on a flight to come entertain you.
That part I remember. Hanging my head, I watch my toes rub nervously against the cool tile that's slick from steamy condensation. What happened after the liquor-filled plastic boot? He raises one eyebrow.
Are you sure you want to know?
Yes. I pinch the space between my eyes as I squeeze them shut.
Quinn, come on. I'm messing with you.
Cody's playful expression sobers.
You just blew off some steam and needed a friend. I'm really glad you called me. I plan on thoroughly rubbing it in Addie's face.
Adler, one of my best friends, recently engaged to Cody's best friend, Joel, is the only reason I'm in this mess. She thought it'd be entertaining to play spring fling matchmaker for Cody and me. One and done is my preferred approach, but neither of us actually expected me to like him. Please don't tell Addie about all this. I don't want to have to explain myself to my friends. Calling Cody to meet me in Vegas would be a red flag to them. To be honest, I don't really know what came over me. I have plenty of friends who would have held my hand through my premature midlife crisis. Noah, Reese, Monty, or Addie would have met me in a heartbeat. A literal heartbeat. I can always count on my girls. I called Cody last night because I guess I wanted to see him. And after drinking my body weight in liquor, my good sense gave out.
Your secret's safe.
He steps past me to turn the shower back on. The water is still hot and the steam rises instantly. You can shower in the master bathroom. It's bigger. I just didn't want to wake you.
Or I can shower here,
Cody says, flashing me a wicked grin. He winks as he slides off his briefs, disorienting me. I mean, I know he's a larger than normal person, so naturally, he's packing heavy equipment, but still, holy shit. And why is it so tidy? Does he wear wax. I spin back around to face the mirror before Cody notices me gawking. Since when are we friends who see each other naked? Shit. Okay, we definitely had sex last night. Definitely. I want to ask, but my pride stops me. Does it make me look like a slutty hot mess if I don't remember? I don't have to debate it further because Cody somehow reads my mind.
We didn't.
Didn't what? I ask, playing dumb.
Don't play dumb. Doesn't suit you,
he says with a smile. Damn, he reads me clear as day, like a large print book.
We didn't have sex, Quinn.
Unable to hide my relief, I blow out a deep breath. Oh, through the mirror, I see Cody looking at me. He crosses his arms, still fully nude, acting more comfortable than anyone should feel in their birthday suit around the girl they constantly flirt with. What?
You thought we hooked up.
No,
you totally did.
Turning around to face him, my eyes lock on his, determined not to glance down, purposely ignoring the part of his body I'd like to inspect thoroughly.
Not gonna lie, that bothers me.
I scrunch my face in confusion. What bothers you?
That you'd think I'd take advantage of you like that. You were almost blackout drunk.
Oh, I didn't think of it like that. Most of my dates are eager to buy me another drink. They don't care how we get there, as long as we do. I don't think. Cody steps toward me, and I all but trip backward. The granite edges of the counter presses into my back. My breath quickens as he presses against me, his naked body against the towel still wrapped around me. Now? Like this? Technically, I'm sober enough, right? He leans into my ear, his voice low, grumbly, and through the roof seductive.
You wouldn't forget a night with me.
Letting out an audible gasp, I know he can feel my heart thumping. He reaches over my shoulder and grabs a small bottle of liquid soap, then steps back, releasing me from my pinned state against the counter.
Pardon me,
he mumbles. Good God, just another game. I try to steady my breath.
I prefer this stuff over the bar soap.
He holds the little bottle in the air, which looks Polly Pocket-sized in his hands. His naked ass disappears behind the fogged-up shower doors. I take a few deep breaths. He's toying with me. Cody does this a lot. Tests the waters, tries to bait me. But for some reason, he won't make an actual move. He's flirty as all hell. Always suggestive. But he won't go for it. He's clever. He wants me to cave first. I can't reject him if he doesn't ask. It's a game of cat and mouse. But I'm not sure who's Tom and who's Jerry. Returning to the mirror, I fish through my makeup and try to make myself as presentable as possible in less than 10 minutes. My day is filled with meetings and presentations, and I need to get focused. I don't like looking unprepared. I'm the big boss's daughter and the youngest C-level executive. I command a team of 5 directors, all egotistical males, so I don't have the luxury of slipping up. Missing the executive breakfast was basically skating on a banana peel. Not a great start to my day. Hey, Cody, I ask, tilting my chin toward the shower. He's humming and doesn't respond. Cody, I yell. Oh, come on. He had to have heard that. He's ignoring me. I yank open the shower door, and Cody's eyes bulge in surprise. The sound of the water from the oversized rain shower head is deafening. Okay, my bad. He didn't hear me.
Need something in here?
He glances down between his legs and tries to swallow a chuckle. Stop that, I glower.
Stop what?
You know what. Teasing me. Anyway, are you headed home today or are you sticking around? I'm here for 4 more days.
Do you want me to stick around?
Well, every minute of my day is spoken for, but I can sneak away tonight. Can I buy you dinner as an apology for having to take care of me last night? I know a steakhouse that serves a ridiculously expensive dry-aged Wagyu ribeye. They call it an artistic culinary experience. I bet I can still get a reservation.
I hate when you do that.
He mumbles, shaking his head. Hate what? What did I do?
Try to, I don't know.
He shrugs.
Buy my time.
Because I offered to buy you dinner? It's called a gesture? I wasn't myself last night, and I can't imagine I was fun to deal with.
Not just now. It's been this way for months. You always try to throw money at things as if you're compensating me. It's weird.
I don't throw money around. Placing my hand on my hip, I hope my sass covers my discomfort. You're basically Sawyer's coach or personal trainer, or whatever it is you guys do. I'm just trying to show you we appreciate all you do. Truthfully, when Cody first contacted me back in November after Addie caved and gave him my number, I was more interested than I'd ever admit out loud. Unfortunately, Sawyer, my younger brother, caught wind that Cody Cartlin, NFL superstar and his childhood idol, had crashed into our inner circle and begged me on his hands and knees for an introduction. That was the end of my torrid sex affair with Cody, before it even began. Cody and Sawyer became fast friends. Cody was the big brother Sawyer wishes I was. Going to Sawyer's games and practices, he shared his insight on college ball, scouting, redshirting, and how to help Sawyer if he really wants to set his sights on the league one day. Cody is helping me to be all the things Mom isn't here to be. As much as I want to slide down his sexy ass like a stripper on her favorite pole, what he's doing for my baby brother is far more important than me getting laid. Sawyer needs Cody, and I need Sawyer to be okay. It's the only way I know how to do right by my mom. At least, that's my excuse for keeping my hands to myself. What's Cody's? Cody crosses his arms, creating a dam for the shower water to pool into.
Quinn, I don't need you to show me appreciation like I'm one of your employees. I don't work for you or Sawyer. He's my friend. You're my friend too. I'm here because I want to be. You don't need to apologize with dinner. In fact, maybe once in a while let me treat you to something, which, by the way, I'm capable of. It's not like I was making minimum wage in the league for 7 years.
I roll my eyes. Men and their egos. Always intimidated when a woman can afford her own luxuries. I'm not trying to showboat. Just trying to be kind and generous. Another memory flashes through my mind. I let you buy me dinner last night.
You let me buy you a cheesy gordita crunch from Taco Bell because you were too drunk to pull out your wallet. You annihilated it like a starved coyote, by the way. Impressive stuff.
Ugh. His stupid, goofy, sexy grin. The water splashes as Cody uncrosses his arms, breaking the dam. A light spray catches my shins when he dips his head under the shower stream. All right, see? You weren't honest earlier. How bad was I last night?
Oh, princess, you got sloppy. But it was great. You were vulnerable for once, even with your slurring. It was the best conversation we've ever had.
Vulnerable?
Yes, ma'am. You spilled all kinds of secrets.
He flicks his fingers, sending a spray of droplets my way. I flatten my palm against the space between my eyes. I'm late. Shutting the shower door, I storm out of the bathroom, mostly pissed at myself. I knew I shouldn't have crossed that line. I got messy, was reckless, and... Wait. What secrets? Storming back to the bathroom, I rip the door open, and can't help when my eyes drop south of his stomach and follow the neatly trimmed trail of sandy hair from his belly button downward. Cody catches me leering and chuckles.
That's subtle. Either get in here or get out. You're letting a draft in.
I didn't spill any secrets, I hiss.
Oh, yes, you did.
Name one. I glare at him and squint as fire grows in my eyes. Flames of worry, if nothing else.
You told me about Addie's F-Buddy survival rules for Joel.
It's not a secret, I say defensively. The whole world, including you, has read the damn book she wrote. Besides, you live with Joel, and he probably told you before I did, so it doesn't count.
Taco Bell is your guilty pleasure.
I'm not ashamed. I eat there about twice a year, which is allowable. Cody pumps the sweet-smelling shampoo into his hands, lathers the suds between his palms, then runs his fingertips through his hair. The invigorating smell of citrus that saturated my hair moments ago fills the bathroom once more. I get the sneaking suspicion he spends time at a spa. What do they call that again? Metro? Is that a thing? Can Cody be Metro and still all man? His body is built like his Ford F-150, yet he borrows my collagen moisturizer with the SPF 50.
How about the letter? The one in the red envelope?
My heart skips a beat, and my breath shallows.
Ah.
Cody notices my shock.
See? There's one. Sounds like a secret to me.
He laughs, but there's no humor on my face.
Quinn, what?
Never, ever bring that up to me again. Whatever you may or may not know, keep it to yourself. I hear my own words as if I'm out of my body. My tone is icy and unnecessarily cruel. But I can't help it. Back any animal into a tight corner and threaten it. Watch it bite.
Hey.
Cody waits until my eyes lock on his, and his expression softens. It makes me feel like I just kicked a puppy.
Okay. I hear you.
He doesn't question my sudden attitude. He's something else. Something I'm really not used to men being. Understanding. How could I slip about that letter? What does Cody know? He can't know too much since he's acting as though he still likes me. If I told him what that letter is, what it probably contained, he'd know I'm a monster. So, dinner. I purposely perk up my tone. Tonight, you can pay.
Sounds good to me. Taco party pack coming your way.
I snort, then open my mouth to respond with something snarky. But I'm cut off by the ruckus from the front door.
Pound, pound, pound.
A heavy fist beats on the entry door.
Quinn Bailey, Rosebank Sabin, if you're not dead or dying, open the goddamn door.
Fuck. I should have texted Dad the minute I was up. His tone is terrifying, and he just full-named me. That's not just anger. That's worry anger, which is far worse.
Quinn Bailey Rosebank Sabin.
Cody's green eyes pop into circles, and he looks like someone just offered him his favorite candy.
That's your full name.
I grimace. My parents had a hard time agreeing on a name.
So they just named you all of them?
He chuckles. Something like that.
Quinn!
My dad shouts again from outside the main door. I have to go or he's going to bust through the door. Dinner? He nods and I gently close the glass shower door. Damn it. I just saw him completely naked. And now, I really know what I'm missing out on. It also doesn't help that Cody is so stupidly charming and sweet, or that I'm probably only alive because he babysat me last night. I'll have to work double time to keep my feelings at bay, but I'll deal with that monster of a mess later. Right now, I have a more important mess to mop up.
2. Cody. The front door of the suite slams shut with an angry bang. I know Quinn didn't mean it. The damn door is heavy. Every time I left the room last night, I'd hear her squeal through the door as it slammed shut behind me. And I had to leave a lot. For ice, Band-Aids, Motrin, and I even had to hunt down burn relief ointment because of a tray of piping hot nachos she had delivered. Quinn is a klutzy drunk. Last night, she was the antithesis of everything I've learned about her over the past 4 months. It was hilarious, but I've had more than enough. Wasted Quinn could give me a heart attack. Between saving her from clumsy near misses, trying to resist her seduction tactics, and her drunkenly admitting she was falling for me, I had been in the blood pressure category of hypertensive crisis all night. Her feelings for me were the best secret she spilled last night. But I wasn't about to...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?